Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Listen, I could not be more excited about our guest today. Our guest is Crystal Payne. She is the money-saving mom. She is the founder of the MoneySavingMom.com. She is host of the Crystal Payne Show podcast. She's a New York Times best-selling author. Her desire is to help women across the globe live with more joy, which we need, especially in this week of and this season of Advent, purpose, and intention in their everyday lives. She lives with her husband and six kids in Nashville, Tennessee, where she is actively involved in her local church. And her biggest passions are helping women understand how the gospel can radically transform their lives, raising awareness for foster care, which you know we've talked a lot about on this show, going on adventures with her family, locally, domestically, and internationally, finding great deals at the grocery store, having heartfelt conversations, and trying to read too many books at one time. Crystal, I feel like you are my kindred spirit in so many ways. Welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We're so grateful to have your time today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It is such an honor.
Well, I was telling you right before we came on that my husband listens to our show every day. And when he asked me about the guest today, he just started dying laughing because he said, well, that sounds like a show you need, a lady who is pressed in her calendar and pressed in her credit card because, you know, you're trying to buy for all the kids at Christmas and everything. So I cannot wait to dive in and to gain all of your wisdom. Let's just start by telling us a little bit of your story, Crystal. Tell us who you are, how your family came to be with six kids, and what role faith has played in your journey.
Yes, well, it's been a wild adventure, so unexpectedly different, as so many of our stories are. My husband and I have been married for almost 21 years, and when we got married, we set this audacious goal that he was going to go through law school and we were going to stay out of debt. Our parents had really set this example for us of wise financial stewardship. And so we caught that from them and were able to just really wanting to stand on their shoulders and take it even further. So he went through law school, and in the process of him going through law school and us seeking to stay out of debt, I found out that I was pregnant, which we were so excited about, but then I needed to quit the part-time jobs that I was doing because I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so I fell into this thing called blogging, which that was back in 2003, 2004, which it was a brand new phenomenon. Most people didn't know what blogging was, but you had to explain about what a blog was before you told them what you blogged about. And so I started blogging on there and just discovered that a lot of people are really fascinated with this idea of saving money and cutting your grocery bill. And so started blogging more on that because I'd been raised in a family of nine. There were seven kids in my family. And my mom had me do the grocery shopping, the cooking, and the menu planning for our family of nine for 2 years as part of my home ec and home school. And so I'd had a lot of experience with that. And so I just started sharing on this blog, and one thing led to another. And pretty soon I ended up starting a blog dedicated to just helping women with ways to save money, MoneySavingMom.com. That was in 2007. And it just took off far beyond what we could have ever dreamed or imagined. And so we had three kids in about 4.5 years. And then we had 10 years of secondary infertility and really had a hope to have more kids. We ended up going through fertility testing, and they said we weren't even candidates for IVF because there were so many issues. So we started down the journey of being licensed to be foster parents because God was just opening up our heart to that. And on the last week of whenever we were getting our last home study walkthrough to be approved, I was just feeling all sorts of weird things and realized that I was 2 weeks late, ended up taking a pregnancy test and finding out that I was pregnant. And so that was a huge unexpected thing because it's been 10 years. And so we ended up then continuing to say yes to foster care. We brought home a little boy from the NICU 4 weeks before we had our biological daughter. We fostered him for 8.5 months. Then he reunified with his mom. Then we said yes to another little boy 3 months later. who had a lot of medical complexities and disabilities, and ended up adopting him. He is now three, almost three and a half, and our sweet little David, who has just changed our life in the most amazing, wonderful ways. And then we found out unexpectedly that we were expecting again 4 weeks after we said yes to adopting him. And so now we also have 18-month-old Micah. So our kids are almost 19 and down to 18 months.
So you are a busy mama. Like, and I think about, you know, all the time stressors, the time crunches that come with that, making sure that you're spending time with each kid individually. You're also spending family time, and then thinking about the financial stressors that come with having a lot of kids. I have four, and I know, I mean, it is a struggle, I think, especially in today's economy, to be able to provide for them, you know, thinking about those, but especially when you have kids with chronic or special health care needs, that's another additional time and money, you know, stressor. So I want to go back and ask you a question first before I ask you about your family. You shared just now and in your book your mom's role in helping you acquire the skills and the savvy that you needed to become the money-saving mom. I want to know, what is her perspective of that part in your journey, and what's her role in your life like today, and how does that impact the way that you're a mom yourself?
Well, like I said, my parents really had such a huge impact when it comes to our financial decisions. I remember when I was, I think it was 7 years old, my parents decided that they were going to pay off our house. So they worked really hard for us to get out of debt. And then we moved out to the country. We lived in this little old construction trailer that didn't have an oven. It didn't have air conditioning. It didn't have heating. That was the year that it snowed in October. The windows would leak whenever it rained, and we had so many rainstorms. And we just have so many memories of living in that construction trailer. And then my dad was a general contractor. We built our house debt-free. And just watching my parents and all the sacrifices that they made walking that journey just really inspired me. Not only, you know, I talked about my mom having me do the grocery shopping and the menu planning, but also just to see the stress that it took off of them to not have the financial stress of wondering, how are we going to pay the bills and how is this all going to work out? And also the freedom that it gave them to be able to give generously. And I really feel like that was the thing that struck me the most. And I just really wanted that going into marriage. And so my husband and I, from the beginning, we set this goal that not only did we want to stay out of debt, but also that we wanted to have a zero-based budget. And so really budgeting every penny before it came in the door, knowing where it was supposed to go. And for a lot of people, that might feel really stressful. But for us, there was so much freedom, because there's freedom in boundaries of knowing, okay, when I spend this money at the store, I don't have to worry, how am I going to pay the light bill? Because this money is designated for the grocery store. This money is designated for the light bill. And so I just really feel like my parents, not only my mom, but also my dad as well, just really inspired us in that. And today we just really hope to stand on their shoulders and take it even further with our kids. And so I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm also so grateful for the many, many, many prayers that they have prayed. There are seven kids, like I said, in my family, and so they're 7 days a week. And so each day of the week, my parents spend praying for one of their kids, and now there's that child's spouse and grandkids. And so I know Tuesdays, my day, that my parents just really pray for us and our family. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I know it's made such an impact in our lives.
That is so inspiring, Crystal. I mean, there are so many things there that you said that are just so encouraging to know that. I think for parents out there listening who are feeling like maybe they're having financial stressors and their kids don't have what their peers have, or they're worried about, you know, those kinds of, you know, providing basic needs. It's amazing to me how we overlook, I think, sometimes that kids have such greater emotional needs and social needs and spiritual needs that, you know, we tend to overemphasize those material things. And then we think we're not good parents if we can't provide those things. But to hear about the legacy of faith that they gave you, and one of the things you just said, I know Tuesday is my day. Like, that is so amazing. I feel like, okay, my husband's listening. Honey, we're going to have to adopt that and give each kid a day. So that I want our kids to be able to go out and say that. I really, really love that. Well, I do want to ask you a question, Crystal, about something you just said, because there are some people who are thinking, okay, I know that I need to get control of my finances. My husband and I have been arguing about this, or I've been stressed about this, but we're just getting started. Like, and we don't know where to start. I want to ask you first, you said that you and your husband wanted to have a zero-based budget. There may be people who are thinking, what was that? So can we go back to that for a second?
Yes, absolutely. So it's really that you're budgeting in on the front end. So often people budget kind of in reverse, like the money comes in and they're like, where are we going to put it? This is more, we pre-decide how we're going to spend the money. And for some people listening, they're probably thinking, well, we don't have a fixed income. Well, actually, my husband and I haven't had a fixed income, I think, really ever in our marriage, because we've always had either work for ourselves or just had jobs that there was just varying incomes. And so we decided, what is the lowest amount that we can live on? And we budget for that. And so instead of thinking, okay, what's our best month? And we're going to budget for that. We're going to budget for the worst month and start with that. And that has been very, very helpful. And I highly recommend, this is, I am not paid. I am not a spokesperson for them. We are paying customers for the program You Need a Budget. So it's YNAB, Y-N-A-B, YNAB.com. You Need a Budget. That is a program that we found to be so helpful. It is software that you can set up your budget. You can see whether you're in the red or the green. It syncs with all of your devices. And it's really been helpful for us to just get on the same page. Plus, the other thing I love, they have a free trial that you can try. And then also they have classes that you can watch online and go through. If you've never set up a budget before, you're like, I don't even know where to start. They will walk you through how to actually do this so that you're pre-deciding how you're going to spend your money. And the thing that we have discovered, when you tell your money where to go rather than kind of just letting it come in and then letting it flow through your hands, you're going to feel like you have so much more money. But also you're going to be a lot more intentional with the money that you have, and it's going to go a lot further. And I feel like it's also so good for your marriage if you're married, because it causes you to have these hard conversations as a couple, and it helps you to learn how to communicate and to compromise and to work together, get on the same page, and be working toward those same goals together.
Well, that is very encouraging news, because yes, that can be one of the greatest sources of conflict, is fighting about money. And it can be really hard, especially when you enter a marriage where you have different family experiences, different expectations. And I think talking about all of those things are really hard. But if you've pre-decided all together, then there's no fights in the moment about impulse spending or those kinds of things. I can see how that is such a benefit. Well, we're going to dive into some of these specific resources that you provide to manage your time and your money. But Crystal, you have so many great resources on your website. And what is a good way for parents to start? They think, okay, you've got my attention. I'm listening, Crystal. I want to know what you provide, but you've got so much. Where should they start?
Well, I just highly recommend go to moneysavingmom.com. And there's a start here tab. And so go there, and that kind of walks you through where to start. But I always recommend, if you never have had a budget before, start with your grocery budget, because everybody has to eat, everybody has to buy groceries. And it's one of the easiest areas to be able to chisel away at and cut some off. But don't say, we're going to overhaul our grocery budget overnight. We're going to cut it by 50%. I really challenge people, start small. And so work on 1-3% every single month that you're going to cut your grocery bill down. It might feel like that's not very exciting, but over time, that is going to really add up and you're going to see significant change. And once you've gotten that and started with that, then you can slowly add in other parts of your budget.
That is very helpful and hopeful. And you're right, everybody's got to eat, and the grocery budget is one. And I know that you will be their guide on the side along the way. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about our schedules and our most precious commodity as parents, our time, and how we can get control of that. So we're also going to give away a book when we come back. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a second on the other side of this break.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. We are talking to Crystal Payne, who is the founder of MoneySavingMom.com, and she was just sharing her really touching story of growing up and having a legacy of faith and good stewardship and prayer that from her parents that really impacted her journey. That was so precious. If you missed it, I hope that you will go back and listen to it. And we've been talking about how to save money because especially today, parents are worried about money and making sure that we are being good stewards of what God has given us. Now, even more than money, our time is something that can feel very stretched these days. Living at the speed of a smartphone where it feels like we are constantly on the go, going somewhere, doing something. And, you know, I look at myself in the mirror and I think, you know, my kids are my number one priority. My faith is such an important part of my life, but it is a really good accountability check. That mirror for us is our credit card statement and our calendar. Regardless of what we think our priorities are, numbers don't lie, and the credit card shows where you're prioritizing your money or your checkbook. If you still have a checkbook, your calendar tells you where you're prioritizing your time. And Crystal is not only now the money-saving mom, she is the time-saving mom. Let me read to you a little excerpt from the description of her book. And let me tell you, this cut right to my heart for sure. As a busy mom pulled in many directions, you felt it. There's too much to do and not enough time to do it. It seems like the only solution is to hustle harder, but there is a far better way to manage your time so that you can simplify and enjoy your life. So this book is called Time Saving Mom, How to Juggle a Lot, Enjoy Your Life, and Accomplish What Matters Most. Crystal, tell us about the inspiration for this book. How did you go from being the money-saving mom to the time-saving mom?
I would say definitely just like Money Saving Mom. I never set out to be Money Saving Mom, never set out to be Time Saving Mom. It's kind of those things where the doors just open and you walked into them in obedience. But as I started writing this book that my publisher actually begged for me to write, I was kind of resistant because I was like, there are so many books on time management. But I realized that this is something that I've been passionate about since I was a young child. And actually, we talked about earlier how my family had moved out to the country and I lived in this construction trailer. And during that time frame when my parents were building our new house debt-free, my grandma passed away, and it was a really sudden thing. And we were very, very close with her and saw her multiple times a week. She was super involved in her life. And it just happened where she had been having some health issues, went into the hospital, and they found out that she had cancer all over her body, and she died within a few days. And it was very, very impactful for me as I was around 11 years old at the time, and just really, really struck me that time is short, that we never know how many days we'll have on this earth. And it just challenged me to start really wanting to use every day well. And so that's been a passion of mine for years, is to really think about at the end of my life, what's going to matter? In 25 years from now, what's going to matter? And so that is really the heart of this book. The book is not about getting more done or hustling harder, like you said. It's not about how can we pack every single crack of time with the most productive thing to do, but it's really about how do we use what God has called us? How do we take these callings that He's given us, and how do we juggle them and do it from this space of wanting to live with intention, ultimately thinking about what's going to matter in eternity. And so that's really my heart and my hope with the book. And that's really my heart and my hope with how I live my life.
Well, I love those but God stories. And it's so funny, Crystal, how many guests we've had on who have written books. I think of recently we've had Wendy Blight and Jim Burns, who both said the same thing you did, that, you know, God asked them, Wendy said, God asked me to, somebody asked her to write about rest for your soul. And she said, I did not have rest at all. And somebody asked Jim Burns to write about parenting adult children. And he said, no, I need that class, but God. said, he loves, I think, to use our weaknesses to magnify his strength. And, you know, Crystal, I think a lot of times today as parents, and especially moms, we can feel like our schedule is just out of control and that we don't have very much choice in the matter. When we look at our schedules and think, okay, I know I'm too busy. I know that I'm doing too much. I know that I'm overcommitted, but I don't know what can give. I don't know where I can drop something off. And the honest truth is, this is so hard, and it's a gut check for me too, is that it's not true. We do have accountability. We have control over our schedules to a greater degree than I think that we're willing to accept. And you say that how we choose how to spend our time, like we often stress over how we spend, or I think it's funny that we often stress about how we spend or save our money, but we're not nearly as strategic with pre-budgeting our time. I can't imagine pre-budgeting my time thinking, okay, I have 5 hours tonight with my family. How am I going to spend them? But you say the little choices you make each day can change the trajectory of our lives. Why is it so important to own our choices in spending our time?
I think it's so easy for us to become a victim of our calendar. Like you just, at this time of year especially, everybody, you know, I'm just so busy. There's just so much to do. But look at your calendar. Who put those things on your calendar? For the most part, it's us. You know, it's the person we're looking at in the mirror. And I'm not saying that those are bad things. I'm just saying when we start to own our responsibility in this, it changes our ability to approach things. And so I really challenge people to stop saying, I don't have time, and change the language to, I'm choosing to spend my time differently. Now, you might not say that to someone if they invite you to something and you say, oh, instead of saying I don't have time, I'm choosing to spend my time differently. No.
You might not get invited again.
That's right. It's a mental perspective shift, because when we say I don't have time, it means that we, in essence, think that we are a victim of our circumstances and our calendar. But when we say I'm choosing to spend my time differently, it is acknowledging that we do have a choice in the matter. And then it is allowing us to really step back and say, okay, if I'm choosing to not spend my time doing that, then what am I choosing to spend my time on? Because when we say yes to one thing, we are always saying no to something else. And so to really pay attention to what we're saying yes to, and is it the thing that's going to matter at the end of our life? And I had a friend ask me the other day, what would your 90-year-old self tell you to be spending your time on? And I thought that was really profound, because when we look at the end of our life, what's going to matter? What's going to look back and matter? And that has just changed so much of the daily choices that I make when I think in light of eternity, when I think in light of the end of my life.
Well, I love how you reference it as the daily choices that you make, because I think too, sometimes when we recognize that our calendar is overcommitted, then we take an approach like we do for New Year's resolution. Like, and we make this big, audacious goal and we say, okay, I'm going to do this. And it's never attainable. You're setting yourself up for failure. And then when we predictably encounter that failure, we get really discouraged and then we fall back into our old ways of doing things. But you really emphasize those little choices that you make each day. What does that look like in your life, Crystal, with 6 kids? What are some examples of some of those little choices that you make?
Well, so for instance, this week I'm doing 5 goals for 5 days. And so just picking 5 areas that I want to focus on. It's so easy for us to think when January comes, then that's when I'm going to start living with intention. But let's finish out 2023 well. And so I'm challenging people on Instagram. I'm the Money Saving Mom on Instagram. And I'm really challenging people to think about what are a few goals that you can focus on for the next few days that you can just live with intention. And so for me, it's little things. It's like eating 90 grams of protein, getting to bed by 10:30 at night, little things like that. Those make a difference in how I feel, the energy that I have, the ability for me to think more clearly, and also for me to be kind to my children. You know, so it's like sometimes we think it has to be something big, but sometimes it's just, like you said, those day in and day out, okay, where do I want to be in 5 years from now, or 5 months from now, or 5 days from now? Okay, what's the next right choice for me to make for that? And so I just really challenge people, Let's focus on the next right choice because, like you said, those little choices change the trajectory of our life. And so instead of trying to focus on this mountain that we want to climb or this hill of things we want to change, let's do the next right thing.
I couldn't agree more because I think about, you know, when I started off as a mom, I was very poorly equipped. I didn't have that legacy of a good relationship like you did, Crystal. And I was so deeply insecure. And I think my goal was that I wanted to be a good mom, but that's not really, you know, an attainable goal where you can do that next right thing. And so I'll give you an example for me. After reading your book, I was really thinking about prioritizing my time. And over Thanksgiving, my family, we traveled and we were away with our kids. My kids are 20, 18, 16, and 14. And so my goal for that vacation was to spend 1 hour alone, one-on-one with each kid, like just so that I could, they could have my full undivided attention. I could talk about maybe some things that, you know, have been going too fast to be able to talk about. And I was thinking about that. Your voice was in my head as I was walking with my kids thinking, yeah, this is a little choice that can change the trajectory. And I learned something valuable and beautiful about each kid that I didn't know before. And it helped me to train my prayer life for them and to pray with them and just to have a really sweet memory. So I can't emphasize the importance of that enough. Well, everybody wants a life hack. We all want a fast, you know, fix, Crystal, but you do have a 4-step system to organize and simplify your life. So please share it with us if people are not already on their Amazon carts buying this book to say, I need that.
So I start out with prayer because I feel like that so often we jump to the practical. It's like we want to, okay, let's figure out the to-do list and the planner and the whatever. But if we don't start with that foundation of relationship with God, if we don't start with that foundation of releasing our cares and our worries and our burdens, we're just going to hustle harder and try to be white-knuckling our way through life and our own strength, and we're going to end up just overwhelmed and frustrated. Like, you're not following my plan, children. I made this new plan, and you're not following it. And so that's how I start the book, and that's how I start each day, is really before the Lord, just praying over the details of my day. And so no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what happened in the middle of the night, because I have 3 little ones right now, and so there's a lot of times when I don't get a lot of sleep, or even with teenagers. I sometimes have teenagers who keep me up really late or wake me up really early or in the middle of the night. You know how that goes?
I do.
And it's so easy to then start our day being like, oh, man, I did not get enough sleep last night. I am so tired. There's so much to do. But what if we reframed it and saw it more as an opportunity to rely upon God and to see him be faithful? And so starting my day in that reliance on God, Allie Worthington talks about how we are supercharged with superpowers because we have God's spirit in us, but yet we walk through life acting like we're just barely surviving. And I just feel like as Christians, we should be the most kindest, energetic, joyful people on the planet because we have God's spirit in us, but we just need to rely upon it. And so starting my day, praying over my day, for me, that looks like getting on the treadmill for 10 or 20 minutes because I find when my body's moving, my brain can focus better. And so sometimes there will be children all around me, but getting on the treadmill and just praying over the details of my day, the known and the unknown, and just really giving it to God. And then throughout my day, shooting up what I call flare prayers to the Lord to just ask him, you know, when I'm needing to have a conversation with someone that I'm not sure how to address it. There's a situation with a child that's really difficult and I don't know how to address it. Or I'm walking into some situation and I'm feeling just overwhelmed. Shooting up that flare prayer to the Lord to ask him to help me multiply my sleep, multiply my time, multiply my energy. Give me the words that you called me to say, love through me, love of God. Just constantly shooting up those flare prayers and just living my life from that posture of prayer. So prayer is the first one. The second one is to prioritize. And for me, this has made such a difference. Instead of me trying to be all the places at all the times with all the people, I have 2 hands so I can hold 2 things at once. And so I have what I call a 6x2 priority system where I focus only on 2 priorities per day. And then I rotate the priority areas that I focus on throughout the week so that every priority area is focused on at least twice. So I have 6 priority areas, focus on 2 per day, rotate the priority areas, and so that each priority area gets some quality time at least twice a week. So my marriage, my relationship with my kids, the business, my personal health, all of those things that I'm getting quality time invested every single week, but not feeling like I have to do it all every single day. Like you were talking about the hour with each child. For me, sometimes we miss those opportunities because we're so focused on like it needs to be this big thing. But oftentimes it's just the quality time of 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour that can make such a difference when added up over time.
Well, so I love those. I love those, Crystal. I was just going to say that we've got 2. I'm going to hold the other 2 for right after the next break. So you're not going to want to go away because you're going to want to hear more about this. And as we go to the break, Crystal, I just wanted to reemphasize what you said about prayer. That is so important. And I've been so convicted about this. And one of the ways that I've really put this into my life is just to pray spontaneously, like not say, tell my kids, oh, we'll pray about that. Or, oh yeah, we should pray about that. Let's stop like right now and just have an ongoing conversation with God throughout the day. I love that flare prayers. Well, we are giving away a copy of this book of the Time Saving Mom to the first caller at 888-589-8840. That's the first caller at 888-589-8840, and we'll announce the winner on the other side of this break, and we'll learn about the next 2 steps in this amazing system, and we'll talk more about balancing our time and especially carving out time for our faith. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are talking to Crystal Payne, founder of MoneySavingMom.com, host of the Crystal Payne Show podcast, and author of the book we're talking about today, The Time Saving Mom, How to Juggle a Lot, Enjoy Your Life, and Accomplish What Matters Most. I want to congratulate, there were a lot of you calling in, but the winner of this giveaway book is Lynn from Arkansas. So congratulations, Lynn, and thanks so much for listening in. Now, before the break, we were talking about Crystal's 4-step system to organize and simplify your life. We talked about prayer and we talked about prioritization. And just during the break, Crystal, I was sharing with you that I tell my students this. I teach pediatric nurse practitioner students who are struggling to manage their time. And I say, look, you can be a good mom, you can be a good wife, you can be a good housekeeper, you can be a good cleaner, you know, house cleaner, you can be a good cook, you can be a good student, you can be a good employee, but you can only be 2 of those on any given day. And that's just what you were sharing. So anything else to say about prioritize? And then what are the next 2 steps?
Yes, well, one of the things that I find so helpful, like you were talking about, whenever you just hold 2 things at once, is it allows you to be so much more focused in those areas and give quality time. So if I'm focusing on my kids, I'm not having to stress about, well, I also need to clean the house and I need to be working on this and I need to be reaching out to that friend. I can just be fully present there. And I feel like there's so much more quality of time and so much less stress because of that. And then I can think, you know what, tomorrow is when I'm going to get to the house or that project or whatever. And so that's been really, really helpful to me. So pray, prioritize, and then plan. In the book, I talk about how I use Google Calendar to brain dump everything. So anything that comes into my mind of anything I need to remember, to do, to buy, it all goes in all-day task on Google Calendar. And this has been so helpful to me because I feel like one of the reasons that there's so much stress in the world is because we're carrying so much in our heads. And so when we have a place to just brain dump all of that so that we don't have to then remember it, but it's in a safe place that we're going to be reminded of, we can just breathe a lot easier. And so that's had a huge impact for me. But I use a hybrid planning system, so it's not just Google Calendar. Then every night before I go to bed, I look at my Google Calendar for what I have that I've said that I need to remember by or do the next day. And then I turn it into a time block to-do list. And like we talked about budgeting, this is budgeting for your time. So it's me pre-deciding how I'm going to spend my time. But before people are like, oh, I couldn't do that. That's way too hard. Or you don't know my children.
Escalated quickly is what people are thinking. This just escalated quickly. I don't know if I'm on board.
I really allow for lots of breathing room. So I think that you pre-decide how you're going to prioritize your day and how you're going to spend your time, but allow at least 4 hours of wiggle room and then pad each time block with extra time as well. And so that way you're not trying to just cram each day completely full, that you have space or when that neighbor needs to talk or your spouse calls, or you just can look into the eyes of someone at the grocery store when you're grocery shopping, or you have space to be present with people. But I find that this helps me to then be so much more focused during the time that I have to work, during the time that I am with my kids, that I'm able to be more focused and be more productive. And so it is me pre-deciding how I'm going to budget my time so that I can be more intentional. It's not just about getting more done or cramming my day more full. And so that time blocking has been so, so helpful to me. And it also allows me to budget time for fun and for relaxation and for time with friends and for things that refresh your soul and your spirit. If you don't budget that in, there's a good chance that that's going to be what's going to be pushed to the back burner. So budgeting my time has been so helpful. So pray, prioritize, plan, and then prep. And this is not only about prepping your space physically, like setting your day up with a good morning routine and evening routine. I talk about that a lot in the book, but also it's about prepping your mind, because so much of our success or failure starts in what we believe and how we talked about not saying I don't have time, but instead switching it to I'm choosing to spend my time differently. I also challenge people, act as if. So instead of telling yourself I'm not an organized person, I don't use my time well, I'm just not a disciplined person, act as if you are, because feelings often follow action. So if you just, you know, stay stuck in that mindset of I'm not this, you will never see any progress. But if you start acting as if you are whatever it is that you are hoping to become or you'd love to become, you're going to see likely some forward momentum, and you might surprise yourself. You might be a lot more organized than you realize once you start acting as if you are. So feelings follow action. Let's not get stuck in negative mindsets.
Those are all such encouraging things. And I can't imagine, you know, thinking about the concept of pre-budgeting your time. And one of the things that you said just really stuck out to me, Crystal, because then you said, if something happens, you have time for that in your day if your husband calls. And I have to think about, you know, there are times when I'll push him to the back burner because I know that he's there and he'll call and I haven't pre-budgeted my time. And then now I'm crunched and now I've got this, you know, deadline for the kid or for the kids or maybe for work. And I don't like that feeling. That feels terrible to say that I don't have time to talk to you. I don't want to be in that position. But these four steps are personally convicting to me. Now, I want to go back to talk about what you were just mentioning with the morning and evening routines. Now, as for me as a pediatric nurse practitioner, I can attest to the science of this. Kids do so well, and we all do well, even the grown-up kids, us as the grown-up kids. We do well with routine. And I think sometimes parents have this unrealistic expectation of what routine is supposed to look like. Like if we decide a routine, then we have to stick to it with military precision. And the first night that we get off, you know, then we failed and then everything stops. But I'll just give you an example. You know, in my house, I have teenagers, but we still do tuck-in time. Like I still tuck my kids in. That means that I'm just going in, talking with them before bed, because that's usually when they want to read the War and Peace of their lives to me, you know, not when I pick them up from school. I pick them up from school. How was your day? Fine. Oh, but at bedtime, you know, I want to tell you everything. But we eat dinner together as a family. We try to sit around the table when we can, even if it's just something really simple like peanut butter and jelly. And right now, my family is really into Monopoly Deal, like this card game. So we play around before everybody goes to bed. That's kind of our routine now. But what do you say is the importance of morning and evening routines? And how do you realistically implement them in a world moving at the speed of a smartphone that just seems like it's gone mad?
Well, I think to recognize that how we start our day is usually how our day goes. You know, now not always. Like, don't be discouraged if you have a terrible morning and turn a day around. But if we are intentional with those first 1 to 2 hours of our morning, good habits beget good habits. You know, it's like how they talk about if you make your bed, do one simple thing like that, how it can really have this trickle-down effect. Now, truth be told, I don't always make my bed. But I do try to start the day with intention. So for me, I talked about praying over my day and starting with gratitude. And really, instead of that mindset of, oh man, I've got so much to do, instead, if I'm feeling that stress rising, see it as a red flag that I'm probably trying to micromanage or hold on to something or control something that I need to release to the Lord. And then starting it from that perspective of today is an opportunity to get to see God show up on my behalf and be faithful. And so I'm going to release this to him and I'm going to ask for his help. And then I'm going to eagerly anticipate how he's going to show up on my behalf. So starting really with that mindset, and then a few things for me, eating a good breakfast, moving my body a little bit, and spending time in God's word, and then connecting with each of my kids. And that can be a very, very simple, you know, just like looking into their eyes, how are you doing today? And just kind of taking a read on everyone and seeing if there's anyone who needs just a little extra TLC. There's usually someone that needs a little bit of extra TLC in the morning. And just starting from that of just kind of helping everyone to feel this just calmness. And so me bringing that spirit of calmness to each of my kids and in my marriage, that makes a difference for everyone's tone of their day. And starting with that. And then like I talked about in the evenings, I create my time block to-do list before I go to bed. I find that that's so helpful because then I can fall asleep. Like I don't have to be having all these things swirling around in my head or wondering how I'm going to do tomorrow. I can just write it all out. I have a plan and then I can go to sleep. And one of the things I was going to mention about the time block to-do list that has been so helpful for me is that I then am able to see, am I able to realistically do everything in the day? And a lot of times as I'm writing my time block to-do list, I'll realize, oh, I'm trying to cram in 37 hours worth of work in a 24-hour day and there's no margin and there's more to do than there are hours. And so that's been really, really helpful for me to figure out, okay, what am I going to delete? What am I going to delegate? What am I going to simplify? What am I going to streamline? So doing that before I go to bed. And just a simple practice also for me before I go to bed of just kind of shutting down my brain by, for me, that's just washing my face. And just, you know, the simple practice of putting on PJs and washing my face is kind of just like that just calming myself down before I go to bed. So everyone is completely different, but I just challenge people to think of what are the few things that you can do before you go to bed to set up your next day for success. Maybe that's getting the diaper bag ready to go out the door. Maybe that's cleaning your kitchen. You know, whatever that looks like to help you to start your next day well. And then to start your morning, what can you do in the first 1 to 2 hours of your morning to set your day up for success?
Those things are so encouraging. And you're right. They're simple, but they're not easy to do. But the interesting part of the science behind just picking some of those things to have a routine is that it really does signal to your brain, okay, it's time to go to sleep. And your brain starts to go through a process where you're going to have healthy REM sleep. And I think that's fascinating in the way that God designed our bodies for that, for discipline. But, you know, one of the hardest things, Crystal, I think as moms today is taking care of ourselves. We are a generation of parents who wants to do everything for our kids. And a lot of times that can leave us neglected. Like we ourselves are on the back burner. And there's this, you know, challenge because we don't want to put ourselves first, but we can't put ourselves last all the time. So how do we balance our time between caring for everybody who needs us, every little body, every little request, every little everything, and every big everything, and caring for ourselves?
I think one of the biggest things for me has been to recognize I'm so much better in all the hats that I wear when I have this calmness and rest about me that we were talking about, you know, setting up our day for success. So when I start my day from this space of resting in Jesus, then I'm going to approach everything else that I do from a different spirit. And so taking a little bit of time for me, getting on the treadmill, taking a shower, getting dressed in something that's going to set myself up for the day that I want to have, those little actions make a big difference. But also, I really challenge people to make sure that you are carving out some space for rest. And so a lot of times people think rest is sleep, which it is, but also there's a book, Sacred Rest, by Dr. Sondra Dalton Smith. I don't know if you've had her on your show, but if not, highly recommend. She talks about the 7 different types of rest. And when I read this book, I realized that there were some areas that I wasn't getting rest in. And so when I started to prioritize those, for me, it was social rest. So time with other life-giving people, prioritizing that in my week helps me to feel so much more energetic and rested. And you would think, wait, that's doing more. You're going to feel more rested, but it truly makes a difference. Things like creative rest. And so I recommend that you check out her book if you haven't. She also has a quiz on her site where you can see what areas maybe you're deficient in when it comes to rest, but just really prioritizing that, because I have found that it just makes such a difference in all of my life. And also, by having the 6x2 priority system of focusing on 2 priority areas and then rotating them, I'm able to have 2 days in the week where I am focusing on my own personal health and making sure there's time to do those things of having time with a friend or having that doctor's appointment or just going on a walk and having some quiet or reading a book or whatever it is that's going to refresh my soul and take care of my body.
I think that's really helpful advice. And I think about Scott Drew, who is actually the basketball coach at Baylor of all things, but his whole philosophy is joy, having a culture of joy, Jesus, others, you. And I think that that's what you're talking about here. And you stress in your book and throughout your speaking the importance of carving out time for God and for your family, and you call it sacred. What distinguishes that as sacred, and how can we make sure that we are prioritizing that above all of the competing demands that we face?
You know, for me, I've had this really radical shift in my life the last 5 years. I wrote about in my book, Love-Centered Parenting, of God just taking me to this place of rock bottom in my parenting and really shifting how I was approaching all of life. I was just hustling so hard and missing out on relationships because I was so focused on my reputation and just trying to prove my worthiness and find my value in accolades and approval and accomplishments. And God just really had to get a hold of my heart and help me to understand that I am pre-approved in Christ, as Jennifer Dukes Lee says, and I am loved by God, and to live out of that love to others, to those in my family, to those in my community. And when I come from that space of knowing how much I'm loved by God, it changes.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. See you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.